Yes.
I know I talked to you earlier, Jeff, I just want to put it on record. You guys are going to address this where this can't happen again, and that's in this new contractors agreement stuff, is that what's going to happen?
It's in the agreement. There's a contract that the attorney and staff has worked on, and in there, that's one of the clauses in there, that if we give a contractor something and it's for, whatever, $8,000, and they do a bunch of stuff and they turn in a bill for $10,000 and nobody's given them anything, authorization in writing, then in that contract that they signed, we're not required to pay them that extra amount unless they come back and say, hey, there's some these things, and if we agree to that, that's one thing, but if we don't, then we wouldn't, so.
The other question I had was on this rock crusher incident, was anything given to Brett on BW Enterprises on how much to go to, or there was just a, was it all verbal?
Go ahead, Amber.
Amber Alford at 11.2 miles of Movia Highway. We did discuss with Brett that what we anticipated the amount of rock being there. Mm-hmm. We thought there was anywhere between $2,000 to $2,500. And that's pretty much what we assumed we had the money for to pay. There was some money left in last year that we were going to pull from, and then I budgeted another $15,000 in this year to cover that anticipated amount. So in full disclosure, I left a piece out, a pretty critical piece, out of my third paragraph when I talked about Brett calling me well into the crushing activity to let me know that he was nearing that quantity. He called me and let me know, and I said, okay, I'll be there. We'll look at it together. That was during a period of time where I had some significant amount of time. My time dedicated to the water plant with some major problems going on there, and I didn't stop by. He continued, and I pretty much told him, continue. I'll be there, and we can go over it, and I didn't show up. It was his second call to me saying, okay, here's where I'm at, and he gave me further numbers, and these are the numbers that you see here now. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, please stop. I'll be there, and that's how that went down.
Okay.
So he notified me twice, understanding what we thought that amount was and him approaching that first level, and my focus was elsewhere.
Okay. Any other questions? Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything further on this?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I may have missed it, but is there an anticipated date that this thing's going to be in place?
Mm-hmm. September 1st.
Thank you.
Well, it's being advertised now for contractors to submit their stuff now, and then it will take a while for people to get all their stuff into us, sign contracts and all that. So September 1, that's when Kim will kind of run the show. And so if a department head says I need a carpenter or I need a backhoe or whatever, they would go through Kim and she would go to the next business on the list for a job and then say, well, you know, then this is who you're going to call.
But it's September 1.
Right.
I can see that policy could have probably prevented this.
It could have. I can tell you there's
two things there that kind of bothers me about this whole situation is the, you know, being the sole source, how do we know that? You know, because he said so. You know, that's, but if they come in and put their name on the list, they, as far as we're concerned, they are the sole source.
Right.
It's documented. And then going over the amount, you know, what, for whatever reason, and you know, we're in a tight situation here, money wise, in the community, and we got to be careful with things like this.
And I would like to say one more thing. The assembly approved the policy in January, and I, like Amber, when the budget woes hit with the state and stuff, I gotta tell you, and there were some of these other projects and deadline things and insurance applications and dealing with our insurance and trying to find other options for that. I'll tell you, this wasn't at the front of the list because those involve finances that were going to affect the city drastically. This may or may not have any difference as far as financially. I think there, it will do some really good things. The contractors that we are using will have on file their insurance, their contracting licenses, their all the things they're supposed to have as contractors. So when we do select one, we don't have to dig it out of them or guess if they had it or whatever. And I think that's had some issues in the past. So I think there's a bunch of things that this will be good. It's not going to solve all the problems, because I think there's still things that we will need to fine tune with this, and hopefully as we go along, we'll address those and adjust them and keep improving it. But I applaud Kim, because she's going to be the one doing a fair amount more work. Initially, I would say it's going to be, you know, it could be 6 or 8 hours a week during this first month. In January, when everybody renews their licenses and insurances and stuff like that, there's going to be another, people have to re-sign contracts once a year with all their new paperwork. She's going to have to check all that off. So, and then after that, every January, it would be on a kind of a cycle there. But every January, she's going to have a significant amount of stuff. And then the ongoing administration of this is going to take some time. So I applaud her for volunteering to do this. I did volunteer today. So.
Just one question on that. And knowing you're going to be busy with elections, are
that
you really going to have time to do this?
If I said no, would you give it to someone else? I'm just kidding. No,
because
elections...
Well, I'm just trying to find out if you're going to need help with this or something.
I don't think so. And if I do, I'll make sure that
we'll help.
I voice that. But elections are over in October, so it should be fine.
But this is starting the 1st of September.
It should be fine.
I've got a lot of
things on the forefront to get ready for this, so...
Okay, so I got two things then. On this $25,000 and under, this is anything, like for instance, this thing that just happened. So Amber, you said that verbally he had contacted you, and you're saying that it can't be in writing. Okay, so how are you gonna stop that? Do you see what I'm saying? How are you gonna, if I hit her and Amber says, okay, you know, just keep on going, I'll be there, and she got busy, which I understand happens, and he keeps going, go ahead.
Well, under the new policy, so anybody that can rock crush,
okay,
would bring their stuff in, they'd be on the list. So anything from 5,000 to 25,000, if we needed rock crushed, we would do that, or we could put out a bid if we wanted to, but we could, anybody that is on that list, we could put out a thing saying here's what we want done, everybody give us a price, and whoever the best one was, they have a contract in place that they could go ahead and keep crushing it, but their contract would say, unless you had someone sign something to approve that, you're on your own. So that would have prevented that.
Okay.
And so, may I add, generally when we are contracting, I mean, there are a lot more specifics, and it is in writing, and that's one of the other failures here, is that it wasn't put in writing.
Okay.
It was a lot of verbal. One of the ways we can improve our capacity for something like this in the future is when we have, if it's something like rock, where you have a large area of rock, we would employ a surveyor to come out and actually give us a survey quantity of that.
Okay.
I mean, that's another way that we would have, you know, had we had the time and thought about maybe this isn't the right quantity and we should be figuring this out. That's what, in hindsight, should have happened. We could have had a surveyor come out and say, okay, you've got this much in place rock. How much do you want to identify? And then we could have kept track of it better that way. But assuming that there was a certain amount there, it was kind of like, this is what we want done, this is what we think is here.
Okay.
So generally speaking, though, quantities and scope of work is a lot better defined.
Okay. So the other thing was, you got on here about the this just kind of popped in my head about sole source, okay? So, new contractor comes to town, and this is not advertised. He does not know how this works. So how is that going to come about?
Well, any time during the year, anybody that wants to be involved in a city project or be a city contractor, so everybody in August is coming in and will bring their paperwork in. So we have that list. If someone come to town in October, all they would have to do is come in and sign their stuff up and, you know, inquire what to do to be a city contractor, to be on that list, and that's all they'd have to do. We'd add them to the list. And
do they have to come to, what my question actually is if a new contractor does come to town, does he have to come here and get a contractor's license from the city? Is there anything that he has to have from the city to start doing contracting work in town other for than the city?
Well, he did, to be a contractor license with the state, all that's with the state. So okay. he would get that. The state has requirements about insurances. You know, some of them have bonding and other things. Certain general contractors have certain requirements, and specialty people have certain requirements by the state.
Business license.
But as far as the city goes, if they wanted to participate in this program, they would have to get signed up, sign this contract, give us that information to show that they are licensed to do these things.
But what I'm saying, Jeff, is how do they know that? How do they know that they're going to have to do this for the city if it's a year down the road, is what I'm asking. Two years down the road, a new contract comes on, which has a rock crusher, for instance.
Right. Well, I think one thing we will do is we will, every year, we'll advertise,
okay,
like in December, to say, okay, reminding contractors in January, you need to come in and redo your stuff. So
okay,
there would be something like that, and we would certainly welcome any new contractors too. Now, one thing, anything over $25,000, normally it would be a bid thing anyway, and
yes,
and then it's not part of this program. It's part of our regular purchase thing. So there'd be an advertisement, and someone from Seattle could bid on it if they wanted. So.
In my experience with the contractors in Seattle don't know about this as soon as it takes effect. They hear things they through the grapevine. They got to tell them.
and a lot of them, Mr. Mayor, a lot of them will come in anyway just because of sales tax questions. You know, what do I got to do to how's your sales tax work? They would get signed up for sales tax, and we would say something that, you know, this.
Okay.
So, Amber, can I just ask, how was the original estimate done for the volume of rock? So I'm just trying to envision this in my mind. You guys looked at a big pile and said, is that, you know, however much money you had originally? And somebody said, yep, that looks about right. Is that?
We went out and we obviously aren't trained surveyors.
Right.
But with our visual eye, me and the crew kind of, based on our knowledge of what this may look like, what do we think is here? And, you know, there's lots of factors when you're looking at that rock. We've realized now in that pit is it's a lot deeper than you expect. It's, you know, just what you can see from the face of all the rubble is sometimes deceiving. We learned that. But what we did was we looked and we estimated what we thought was there. I went back to the budget. I looked to see what we had. This was as we were developing our budget for this fiscal year, this current fiscal year. Looked to see what we had, and I budgeted the rest of that in this fiscal year.
Okay. Amber, did somebody count the votes? Was somebody there when that stuff?
Yes, Brett has those tickets. He hasn't submitted them to me yet, nor has he submitted the final invoice or an invoice. So. I will get those from him, obviously, and review them. But that was a summary sheet that he gave me.
Anything further? Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further discussion or comments? Paul, please.
Assembly members Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Maybe I should abstain from voting.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. I'm going to call a 5-minute recess. We convene the regular assembly meeting at 8 p.m. Okay. Let's see, we're on item 13F. Discussion of possible action regarding the new property tax payment due date. This item, I actually requested that this item be put on the agenda because there seems to be some confusion and among people exactly when the due date is. This all just come about and people are not used to change. And sometimes it catches them unaware. And there was one person wrote a letter, and there have been other people that have discussed this. But yes, go ahead.
I know there's not a motion on the floor, but I certainly would have no problem doing. We talked to our attorney on this to do a temporary non-codified ordinance to change this, so making this year the people the opportunity, the first payment half would be September 15th and the second half December 15th. And then at that point next year it would go back to one payment to give people a chance to adjust to it. It would, I certainly, when you had the ordinance would change this, I think in May, if someone, it did change. And although you hope that people come to the public hearings and do that, I understand that I've been here long enough to know that nobody does, and normally. And so if we had done this, 6 months before that, so people had a longer period of time, so I certainly have no problem to do a temporary ordinance to allow dates of this year for September 15th and December 15th, and we can accomplish that. The assembly was in favor of that, we would have a special meeting the first part of August. We'd have it at noontime or something, and then we'd have to have a public hearing and the second reading at the last meeting in August, and then we could get it out over the press and in the paper and all that to allow people to do that. So if that's the assembly's pleasure, we certainly would endorse that.
Okay, I'm going to ask if someone will make a motion on this and so we can get into discussion.
I move to change the ordinance to allow two payments in 2015, one in September 15th and the other on the normal December 15th, 2015. Penalty and interest would be charged on any late payments of either payment, and then in 2016 it would revert back to the one payment schedule on September 15th as the ordinance currently reads, giving property owners a full year to adjust.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Okay, we can get into the discussion now.
So, I know you had a letter from Annie of Armstrong Rents, and she says in her letter that she's not capable of doing these two payments. Has anybody asked her if she's only asking for this for this year only, or? I mean, because they cut in a letter, it kind of looks like she wants to continue making two payments forever. I mean, does anybody adjust this letter?
That was my understanding from what she was. I actually went and talked to her about it.
Okay.
And that was my understanding from what she was saying. There was some confusion. She thought it had to be exactly on those days and no others. To me, as far as I'm aware, there's not a city policy to that it has to be exactly on those days. It's by those days. Is that correct? In other words, if you want to pay it January 1 for the following, for the end of that year, pay right. Something, you could go ahead and pay and make a payment on it. And I think that was a confusion that, the way I understood it, that it was just that day was not, she preferred to pay it before instead of on that day. And, you know.
Yes. But I too got a lot of comments about it, that it was a surprise. And people felt that they didn't have a whole year to plan for it. Like, some of them take it out monthly, and they make sure that it's a monthly payment that they make, and then it's ready to be paid at the end of whatever year, whatever period. And if we do this motion, then it gives them a full year to prepare and to start putting away the money so that when it is due, they can pay it.
Yes.
Oh, just return to what David said. Annie saying that this doesn't work for her to pay it once, that it's, I mean, I don't know if this addresses Annie's issue, and you spoke to her, but it
that was my understanding, that she thought she just, that was the only opportunity she would have to pay it, is on that one day. And I tried, you know.
You know, if you get a year's warning, it doesn't matter whether you take it out monthly. As long as you get time to set the money aside, the due date is really irrelevant.
That's what I said too.
So it's got to be paid whatever date. Sooner or later, it's got to be paid. And so I think that by giving them the year to prepare, I think that's more than generous.
Yes.
I'd like to just ask staff to be sure there's a notice that goes in these next two. Is it billed? Is that correct?
Is bills have been sent out.
Okay, so the next, so in December, I guess, if we go to half and half.
Yeah, and what we would do is, before we could do this, the assembly actually has to pass an ordinance, and we would do that as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as that passed, and even probably, sounds like we will pass it, so we could certainly put something on the counter, that which we've already done, and we will put something in the paper after it's actually approved. But we could put pending ordinance to allow 2015 payments to be made on first half by September 15th, the second half by December 15th, and at least people coming in paying. So if they wait till December 15th, they're not going to have a Christmas, but they will have their house paid.
Any further questions or discussion? Yes.
So if this passes, that'll mean direction for me to have the attorney draft this ordinance.
Yes, okay. And then we will have a special meeting and a
regular meeting.
Regular meeting.
And a public hearing.
Because we have to have a public hearing.
Yep.
Any further questions? Hold on, please.
Assembly members Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Persunka?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13G, approval of a contract zone for a storage unit on 2.4 acres in the remainder lot A-2, Torgerson Smith subdivision within U.S. Survey 3823. Adjacent to Bloom's Trailer Court, requested by Donald Glazner, owned by Lisa Torgerson, as recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Move to approve the contract zone for storage unit on 2.4 acres in the portion of the remainder lot A-2, Torkinson Smith subdivision with the U.S. 3823, located adjacent to Bloom's Trailer Park, requested by Donald Glesner, owned by Lisa Torkinson, as recommended by Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
I just have a question. This is just for this specific thing. It does not make it light industrial. Is that correct?
That's
motion.
Correct.
Okay.
Any further questions or comments?
I know I talked to Jeff earlier today. There's a 300-foot buffer on this for contacting other owners of property. So if we approve this, have those other property owners been contacted?
They were contacted. The Planning and Zoning Commission had a hearing on this, and yes, they were contacted for the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing.
Okay. Thank you.
Roll call, please.
Assemblymembers Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Prusanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13H.
At this time, I'll step down.
Thank you. Approval of the contract zone for a storage. Let me start all over. Approval of a request from Mark Mitchell to enter into a short-term agreement for the temporary use of storing crab pots on Wrangell Island near Tom's Place.
Come on, that's in the last two here. Somebody else pick it up.
I can't find it.
Move to approve a temporary use agreement to Mark Mitchell for the lease of 2,000 square feet of property on Wrangell Island, described as Section 35, Township 65S, Range 85E, north of Tom's Place subdivision for $50 per month, and for the borough manager to address conditions in the agreement by the Planning and Zoning Commission and staff that are appropriate for this temporary use permit.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, since she wasn't present for the public meeting or for the persons to be heard, could I ask that she see my letter?
She can read the letter. No, you cannot speak again.
I didn't ask to speak, I asked
her. She can certainly read the letter. Yes.
So, I just wanted, because there was sort of, with Carol's presentation and everything, I wanted to sort of in my mind clarify what it was that we will, if we move forward with this, what that looks like. So this would, if the assembly moves forward, then this would go to the Planning and Zoning Commission? No. So we would just move forward.
It's already been there.
It's already been there.
Yeah.
And it, okay. So we would have to put any other recommendations that we want at our level that it wouldn't go back.
That were, the Planning and Zoning had some recommendations. Mm-hmm. So if the Assembly is approving kind of their thing, they could add to that. And in the agreement that we would put together, we would address the Planning and Zoning's, any conditions they had, plus any of the conditions that the Assembly would like to have.
And do we, are we compelled in any way to have public meetings when we go and start to venture into utilizing undesignated lands for different purposes? Is there, Carol know that?
She would,
yeah. I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Is there need to be any further public process besides it going through P&Z to?
Not according to the temporary use procedures.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
So when we say temporary use, what is the amount of span of time that we're talking about?
Through December 31st of this year.
Of this year. Okay, thank you.
Go ahead.
Is there penalties in place if Mr. Mitchell doesn't remove this? Is there a process within our code to... There's really nothing,
so any,
no teeth.
So generally,
go ahead.
As staff would take the recommendations from the Planning and Zoning, anything the Assembly would want to require, we've also looked at different things that, you know, kind of worst case scenarios. And in the agreement, and we could, if the Assembly wanted, we could draft that and bring that back to the Assembly to see if that's something they would like, or you can direct us to say, I want to include this, this, and this, and this, and we would certainly be more than happy to include those things. But as an example, with Mr. Allen, there was a meeting and we had a public hearing, and there were some things that were of concern of the Assembly, and we put those into the some of the language and things that we also added with the assistance of the attorney.
Okay.
You know, I do have some concerns that Paula Rack brought up about the massive property, and that there's no, doesn't seem to be any means of enforcement to make sure that this property that are on contract like that or something, or lease, aren't maintained in a proper manner under the agreement. There doesn't seem to be anyone making sure that that happens. And you go out to Shoemaker Bay and you can well see what she was saying. And I know, knowing Mr. Mitchell, I know this wouldn't happen in that, but we can't pick and choose. And, you know, what I would like to see at this point, I don't know if it's possible, but I would like to see some type of policy with penalties in it that can be drawn up and brought before us before we decide anything.
Go ahead. Thank you. With the temporary use permit, though, like Mr. Mitchell is requesting, we do have some teeth because we cannot renew his temporary use. I don't know what the situation is at Shoemaker Bay, if that's a 30-year lease or a 50-year lease. So we can't really go back and revisit and say, nope, we've changed our mind. If Mr. Mitchell didn't do a good job of it, I guess our teeth is, we're not going to do that next year, thank you very much. So there is, you know, now that I've processed in my mind, there is some teeth there, and if we were to do this, I guess I try to think down the road, so we're going to have other people coming forward and asking to do it. As long as we're not providing long-term leases that we can't get out of, we have that ability to revoke that come December and say, nope, you've left a mess, or nope, we're not happy with it. And if it's crab pots, it's not like it's the junkyard, I guess, so.
Yeah.
I think Steve's right. There is sort of teeth to a temporary use permit. We can revoke it, not renew it. I have some other questions that come to my mind. Storage is a real bottleneck in this community, especially for fishing gear. I think we had to be prepared for the possibility that if we allow for city lands that we have to be utilized this way, and there's more of them, more people are going to want to do that. So I think if we do this, we need to do it hand in hand with something like the mayor suggesting, or looking at actually developing that area for that reason, in a structured, logical, way. With input, and things like that. But I feel like this is actually a need in a big way. So I'm okay with doing it on a temporary basis, but I think we should look at more of a long-term plan for how to go about this.
Sometimes it's easier to ask forgiveness than it is permission. Any further discussion? Poll, please.
Assemblymember Powell?
Yes.
Persanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13I has approval of City Tidelands annual 5-year reassessment.
Move to approve the 5-year City Tideland reassessments as presented.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? I just have, is this It was mentioned on the last item. Is this the parcels that's in, that was in question in that?
Are these? No.
Yeah.
These don't have anything to do. These are the...
No, I'm saying, is this a parcel of Shoemaker Bay is what I'm asking?
No.
No.
Okay.
Oh, wait, no. Yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Then this is an opportunity here.
Oh, it is.
But these are, sorry.
Go ahead.
These are the reassessments. These aren't renewals. These are basically the reassessment.
The value.
The value.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood here.
He's got a, say, like a 30-year lease, and every 5 years we're required to reevaluate them for assessment purposes and their lease value.
Every year you see something like this with different leases that'll come forward because they're in a staggered.
Okay, I was completely misunderstanding this whole thing.
Oh, okay.
I'm glad you clarified it. Any further discussion or comments? Roll vote, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Persanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13J has been removed from the agenda. Item 13K, proposed resolution number 07-15-1327. A resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, approving the request of the Wrangell Medical Center to enter into an agreement with a bank or other financial institution for a line of credit for Wrangell Medical Center operations.
Move to adopt resolution number 07-15-1327, approving a line of credit for Wrangell Medical Center in the amount of $500,000.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
I have a question. Does this hurt the city's credit rating? Does it go against it?
They will, first of all, most of our bonds, we've got two types of things that we do. One goes through any of like our school bonds or general obligation bonds, which would be streets, schools, things like that, libraries, fire halls. Most of those go through the state of Alaska's bond bank, and we collectively, all the municipalities that would do one together each year after the elections come, we kind of get the backing and the goodwill of the state behind us, so it's helped the communities do that. Now, if an individual community was not doing good, they might say you're a bad risk and you can't piggyback with us. But generally, Wrangell hasn't been that way. And the other thing, this is a revenue type bond. All the general obligation bonds have to go to the vote of the people. But any revenue bonds, like the loan you approved earlier for the, you know, water, sewer, any of those type of enterprise funds, which the hospital is one, do not require going to the vote of the people. They just require the assembly approval. And so, kind of to answer your question, those are kind of separated from the general obligation bonds that the city has anyway. The enterprise funds are kind of on their own, and it says they basically shall pay debt back through their own revenues and stuff. So.
It doesn't go against their credit rating.
No, it may go against, say if the hospital, say there was something other related to the hospital and they had, or the sewer fund or any of them, say this, pick on the sewer fund, say they had a bunch of debt outstanding and they wanted to issue some more, the lending institution for that revenue bond might say, hey, you're maxed out, your ability to repay this is not good. But generally, that wouldn't affect the overall of the city.
Or the loan percentage they might get.
Yeah, just for that fund, just for that enterprise fund, the sewer fund, or whoever was borrowing the money. But it wouldn't normally affect the general obligation stuff that we would do for, like I said, schools or streets or libraries or that kind of thing. So.
Okay.